Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Take your Bibles and open up to Matthew in chapter 16. You are not unfamiliar with this passage of Scripture. It's just the jumping off point. I'm not preaching this. I'm preaching out of the Psalms and actually several places in the Bible, a couple of main passages of Scripture. But this is just a jumping off plate, a place where we'll have a word of prayer as soon as I'm done reading this, and you'll see how this all ties together. In Matthew in chapter 16, Jesus just gets through rebuffing his enemies. He warns of man's religion. And then he reveals the coming church, crucifixion, and resurrection. Not necessarily in that order. And we pick up reading with verse 13. And Jesus, let's pick up reading with verse 16. And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One, the Son of the living God, the only begotten, only hope, Son of God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona," that's Aramaic, his Aramaic nickname for Peter, "for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." It's not new doctrine. Jesus has been telling them this for 3 years, but Peter was able to grasp it and get a hold of it. He says, and I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter. By the way, when he said Peter in verse 1, that was Petros. It means little stone. Grammatically, you got to keep this passage in order. "And I say unto thee that thou art Peter," or Petros, "little stone, and upon this rock," Petra, Jesus speaking of himself, "the Messiah, the Son of God, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." A little bit of background, just in case you're someone that's misconstrued because of some denominational dogma. Jesus is not saying Peter is the rock upon which he would build the church. Grammatically, in the Greek, that is as absolutely wrong. Petra in the gender is neuter, and Peter or Petros is masculine. It doesn't fit together, and both of them have to fit together in order for them to be talking about the one and the same. And of course, the rock is Jesus. By the way, Peter had a mother-in-law. And who would have a mother-in-law without having a wife? That doesn't make any sense at all, right? Peter was a sinner. All right, he was not God's representative here on this earth. Peter confessed his sins to God. Peter proclaimed Jesus the only Messiah. Peter never went to Rome. Paul went to Rome. Okay, that's just kind of on the side. I just want to help you in winning your loved ones to Christ during this holiday season. I want to preach this morning on 7 incredible, over-the-top character traits of God, our rock. I may not spend equal time on each of the 7 points. I'm not telling you it's exhaustive, but we are going to look to the Word of God and understand that God is our rock. You can count on God. He is not going to change. You can count. If you're here this morning, and you're bearing a heavy burden. If you're here this morning and you're carrying, your heart is weighted down. You're carrying a weight that you're staggering under the load. If you're here this morning and you're filled with anxiety and you're fearful and you're wondering what in the world is going to happen in my life, what's going to happen to my family, what is going to happen to the country in which we live, I want you to understand this morning that we have a rock and his name is Jesus. It comes down to this. It's like the little boy that misquoted Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." He misquoted it and said, "The Lord is my shepherd, he's all I want." You understand this morning that in the person of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, deity in the flesh, the incarnation that went to the cross, conquered the grave, rose again the third day, and has ascended on up into heaven. He is our God. He is our Savior. He is the head of the church. That in him, he is all the stability and all the security that you are ever going to need. He saves, he keeps, and he satisfies. And if you're here this morning and you've never been born into the family of God, I invite you to Jesus. I invite you to the one Savior of this world, the one that can wash away your sin, the one that will take you to heaven when you die. Man, if all you need do this morning is come to the rock that is higher than I. That's scripture. You come to the rock that is Christ Jesus. Upon this rock, I will build my church. I have one job in this life. You want to simplify your life? I have one job. It's to exalt Jesus Christ. Jesus said, if I be lifted high, I'll draw all men unto me. I am to make much of Jesus. I'm to spend my life making Christ known to this lost world. Now, I'll do that by getting people to heaven, by winning people to Christ, and by building the church. That's baptizing and discipling and growing them and equipping them to live in life. Now, here, it all goes back to this. I need to make much of Jesus because Jesus is the one that saves souls. I don't save any souls. You don't save any souls. It's Christ that saves souls. And Jesus is the one also that builds the church. It's Christ that builds the church. So it all comes back to this. Our job, I've got one job. Make much of Jesus. I want to lift him high. I want the world to understand. I want you to know. I want everyone watching live stream to know. I want everyone listening to a radio broadcast to know. I want you to know that Jesus Christ is the answer to the world's problems. And he is our rock. Take your Bibles, if you would, and turn to Psalm 95 and verses 1 through 11. We won't exalt Christ. It won't happen with casual Christianity. It isn't going to happen. Great ministries aren't built with spare time and pocket change. But I will tell you this. Brian Mason sent this to me this morning. God can use a little or God can use a lot, but God can only use you if you're willing to give what you got. And I thought, man, that's not bad, Brian. That's not bad for a punk preacher in the other end of the UP that doesn't really know a whole lot, but, you know, wet behind the ears. And truthfully, he's doing a great job for God over there. Let me go back to Psalm 95. We read this Wednesday night, Psalm 95. I want to help you, and then we're going to get to the meat of the word. Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Understand this, Jesus is the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise with him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth, and the strength of the hills is his also. The valleys and the mountains, they belong to God. The sea is his, he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. He's the owner of it all. He's the creator of it all. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if we will hear his voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation, as in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me and proved me and saw my work. 40 years long was I grieved with this generation and said, it is a people that do err in their heart, and they have not known my ways, unto whom I swear in my wrath that they should not enter into his rest. Real simple here this morning. We don't want to become like the children of Israel wandering in the wilderness. On two occasions, this was Wednesday night's message. On two occasions, in Exodus chapter 17 and verses 1 through 7 and Numbers and chapter 20, on two occasions, the people of God tested God. They looked around in the wilderness and they didn't have any water and they started to murmur. And they questioned the authority of Moses. And they started to rebel. And God delivered them by bringing water from the rock. God told Moses, Moses, you strike the rock and water's going to come. And water flowed from that rock. Second time, it happened a second time. And Moses, in frustration, struck the rock two times. That broke the picture of who the rock is. Because the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians in chapter 10 and verse 4, Christ is our rock. He said, what are you talking about, preacher? Again, this. Jesus only had to go to Calvary one time. Jesus only had to shed his blood one time. When Moses, out of frustration, struck the rock the second time, that God said, you're not going into the land of promise. You're not going into the land of Canaan. And all of the people of that generation died in the wilderness because they continued to, in the blessing of God, after salvation, after leaving the land of Egypt, they continued to complain to God about his provisions. We don't want to be found in that position. I'll be the first to say here this morning, I know you'll echo it, God is good to us. God has blessed us abundantly. We live in a land of plenty. We have a great New Testament local church with good brothers and sisters in the Lord. None of us perfect, but God has blessed us. Never cry out to God and question God's leadership like the children of Israel did. And it was called the place of provocation, the day of temptation. Hebrew word is Meribah, a place of bitterness. That attitude does not please God. And that attitude shows total lack of faith and trust in God. Okay, let's come back to where I want to be. God is our rock. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verses 10 and 11. Verse 10 says, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Christ is the rock. He is the foundation of our lives. Christ is that he is the one that we are supposed to build our lives upon. Don't turn there. Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27. We read that passage of scripture where Jesus spoke about the man who built his house upon the sand and the man who built his house upon the rock. That house is our lives. And I want to encourage you here this morning, brethren, right from the very get-go in this message, build your life upon the rock, Christ Jesus. Forget about building on the sands of this life, on the sands of this time, because they are shifting all the time. The world offers you shifting sand, changing fads, changing fashions, changing Bibles, empty lives, changing values. It's like trying to hit a moving target because the world has no stability. There is stability in Christ Jesus. Man, be a Bible fundamentalist. Be someone that carries and lives and reads and studies their Bible and does it in humility and allows God the Holy Spirit to mold and build that life. You cannot know the will of God apart from studying your Bible. You can hear what the preacher says and you can apply some of it to your life, but listen, you'll never know the will of God for your life until you get to the place where you're reading your Bible every single day. Don't skip a day because you're skipping a day without God's direction. Don't do that. That is haphazard. That's a lack of discipline, personal spiritual discipline in our lives when we live that way. From the preacher right down to the youngest person that can read. Be in the Bible every day. Study to show thyself approved unto God. It doesn't take me long to wander away from God. Just give me a day where I'm not reading my Bible. And something enters into this cranium, this mush that I have in my head, and some thought gets crosswise, or some battle takes place, and I wasn't prepared for it. Jesus Christ is the rock of our foundation. Go back to Psalm 95:1. We already read it once. I want to read it again. Come unto us, or oh come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. He's the only way to heaven. On my worst day, my name is recorded, still recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life because I've been born into the family of God. It's a metaphor saying that Jesus, that God is our rock. You understand what a metaphor is? It's something that God uses in the Bible to give us a picture. It's like we're the sheep. It's like him being the good shepherd. It's like we're the bride of Christ. It's like he's the groom of Christ. He's our rock. He's our rock. You can count on him. You can depend on him. He is the rock of our salvation. That salvation message never changes because God never changes. A rock. Another thing, he's a rock of provision. I want to testify and say, what a God. Let's go to Exodus 17. Exodus chapter 17. Verse 1. I have alluded to this. Let me read it. And all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeys according to the commandment of the Lord, they're following God, and pitched in Rephidim, and there was no water for the people to drink. Wherefore the people did chide with Moses and said, give us water that we may drink. And Moses said unto them, why chide ye with me? Wherefore do ye tempt the Lord? And the people thirsted for water, and the people murmured against Moses and said, wherefore is this that thou hast brought us out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst? And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, what shall I do unto this people? They be almost ready to stone me. And the Lord said unto Moses, go on before the people and take with thee the elders of Israel and thy rod wherewith thou smotest the river, and take in thine hand and go. And behold, I'll stand before thee upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, that's the crucifixion, and there shall come water out of it that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. And he called the name of the place Massa and Meribah because of the chiding of the children of Israel, and because they tempted the Lord, saying, the Lord is the Lord among us or not. Now, if you go over to 1 Corinthians, don't do it now, verse chapter 10 and verse 4, you find out that Christ, New Testament, is our rock that followed them in the wilderness. They thought they were without water, and God was there all the time. It might be that you're at a place in your life where you're thinking, man, where's God in all of this? Has he left me alone? And I'm assuring you, I am telling you, because God is our rock. He has provided for you, and he has been there all the time. Let's look at another passage, just a single verse. It won't take but a moment. God is our rock of provision. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 29. Deuteronomy chapter 29 and verse 5. God always provides for his people. He is the rock of provision. Actual words out of the Bible. It says in Deuteronomy 29 verse 5, and I have led you 40 years in the wilderness, and your clothes are not waxen old upon you, and thy shoe is not waxen old upon thy foot. And that is mentioned several times in the Word of God, at least twice, three times in the Old Testament and one time in the New Testament. God always met the need of his people. He is the rock of provision. That rock followed them in the wilderness, and that water came from the rock even in the wilderness for those 40 years. God has always met your need, if you'll just think about it just a little bit. I don't know what's in front of us as far as economic bad times, but I think it's going to go bad. And I'm not trying to scare you. Just, you know what? We have God. We have the rock of provision. He's always met our needs. When I first came to Fundamental Baptist Church, my first paycheck was $25. It was $25 a week. And it's not like I was a man of great faith. I just was stupid enough to believe that God called me and God was going to meet, and he always met the need. I want to testify to you right now. God will always meet your need if you put him first. If things got really black in the economy in the next several months or years or however long we got, and you know what? Everything just kind of falters and comes to a standstill. Understand this. Stay faithful to God. Amen. That rock is with you. He is a rock of provision. The water flows from the rock. Always tithe. If your tithe is $5, always tithe. Always give God his first fruits. Always bring the storehouse. Always be willing to be used of God. And I promise you, this is what the Word of God declares, and I've never known an exception to it. God will always meet your need. That's just the way it is. God is so good. There's not a one of us that deserve that. You know how much pressure that takes off these shoulders? Man, where are we going in the future? What's going to happen with Fundamental Baptist Church? What's going to happen if all of a sudden, I heard just this week that last month, 47% of the small businesses couldn't pay their rent in the United States of America. That's not the big store. That's not the big box stores and that kind of thing. That's just mom and pop places. Man, things are tightening down real fast. Maybe we got a lot of time. Maybe we're going to be in high clover here for the next few years. I have no idea. But you know, live fat or die skinny, good times or bad, come hell or high water, you honor God and God's going to take care of you. He will meet your need. He is our rock. He never changes. He's that rock of provision. And the children of God in the wilderness, the shoes never wore out. They didn't have shoe stores to go to, but God met their need. Their clothes never wore out, Man, there wasn't some place they could go buy material. They're in the desert. They're in the wilderness. But God gave them what they needed. I testify that's how God is. Again and again and again. He's our rock of strength. What a God, what a God we have. He said, where do you get the power to live? Go to Psalm 18. Psalm 18. And verses 1 through 3. So what do you do when you get bad news, preacher? I run to the rock that is higher than I. You say, did you ever get bad news? Well, I sit down and accept that one, man. Do I ever get bad news? Let's see. Tuesday of last week. Wednesday of last week. Thursday, bad news and the fact that I couldn't eat any more turkey. That was bad news. Friday, I mean, it happens almost every day. People went home to heaven last week. Man, people are in dire straits all over the eastern end of the Upper Peninsula. Our ministry reaches outside the four walls of this church. Understand this, God is my strength. He is my tower of strength. He's the rock that I run to. Psalms chapter 18 and verse 1. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. 59 times in the word of God, God is referred to as a rock. 14 times, maybe it's 17 times in the Psalms, David referred to his God as his rock. He was his go-to. My God, my strength, in whom I will trust. My buckler, that's a shield. And my horn, that's my power of my salvation and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. He is our tower of strength, a rock. He's where we get our giddy up from. He's the one that we get our power to move on, that positive spirit that allows you to get up and pick up the sword again and dust off the dust after receiving some mighty blow from the evil one. He is our rock. He is our fortress. He is our tower of strength. He is our rock of strength. That's what, you think David ever got bad news? This psalm is the response of getting bad news. He said, Lord, I run to you. You're my rock. You're my tower. You're my shield. So don't think you're the only one in the world suffering difficult times. Don't think for a moment, but again, as far as the church, we were made for this hour. And as far as the individual believer, you are strategically planted by God on the planet, on the face of this planet, as a sinner, born into the family of God, a child of God. You are put here in this place for this hour on purpose, by design. You are made for this fight. You are made for this battle. He's our rock of strength. He's our rock of refuge. Everybody go to Psalm 61. Psalm 61. What a psalm. Rock of refuge. He is our, Jesus is our Sabbath. He's our rest. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 9. I'm going to read it here in just a moment. Don't go to Hebrews. Hebrews 4, 9 says, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. Jesus is our Sabbath. Say, preacher, what do you mean by that? He did it all at Calvary. Everything I needed is found at Calvary. He's provided for my future. He's taken away my past. He provides power to live in the present. I don't have to earn God's love. He loves me just the way I am. Calvary washed away my sin. I got born into the family of God in 1968, and I'm a child of God, and I'm on my way to heaven. I rest. I don't have to keep the Ten Commandments. I'm responsible to keep the moral law, but I fail it all the time. But that's okay. I'm in Jesus, and He kept them for me, and He fulfilled the law. And I don't have to struggle to stay in the hand of God or struggle to stay saved. That's works. That's salvation by works. Jesus is our Sabbath. He is our rest. Psalm 61, verse 1. Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When I'm far from home, when I'm in a distant land, when I feel forsaken, when my heart is overwhelmed, David said, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Isaiah 32 and verse 2 says, there's a great he is a great rock in a weary land. That's our God. He is our rock. Over the top, seven character traits of God, our rock, the rock of our foundation. Build your life there, not on the shifting sands of this culture. The rock of salvation, he only is the way to heaven. The rock of provision, he'll meet our every need. By the way, I'll pause real quick and say this, don't serve mammon. That is the God of gain. Here's how you serve that idol mammon. It's the way it always is. The God of gain, you'll never make enough. You spend all your life doing it, and you'll never have enough. He's the rock of provision. He's all you need. The rock of protection. The rock of strength. The rock of refuge. And then go to Isaiah chapter 26. Oh, don't go there. Go to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. I apologize for the way I preach sometimes, where I give you a passage and it's, don't go there, go to another one. It's because there's so much information and I have so much that I've studied and I can't preach everything that I studied. So I try to be led by the Spirit of God and what to bring up and what to preach in the morning message. I'm not good like Lee Robertson. How many remember Lee Robertson? Remember, you ever hear of him? Great preacher, Chattanooga, Tennessee, been in heaven a long time. He preached 20 minutes. 20 minutes, you could clock it. 20 or is it 22 minutes? Don, you probably know. It was one of those two numbers. Always. It was like, bang, bang. But he said, man, wouldn't it be great if we had a preacher that preached 20 minutes? You know, just all the time. And and when asked by other preachers, how does he do it? He said this, I just fill myself up with that, whatever doctrine I'm preaching all week long. And then I get up there and shoot my mouth off for 20 minutes. It's like there was a clock in his head, got it done. Well, I'm on my last point. Here's the deal. God never changes. He is the rock eternal. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Malachi 3:6, I am the Lord thy God and I change not. Jesus is all I need. Metaphor, he's a rock. He is solid. He's always going to be there. He's never going to change. He's eternal. He is God, my rock. He's my refuge. Remember Moses up on the mountain? Lord, I want to see you. God says, you can't see me. You can't stand in the presence of the glory of God and live as a mortal man. But oh God, I want to see you. I said, Moses, here's what I'll do for you. I'll see that cleft, that crack in the rock? You just get way back in that rock as far as you can. And I'll put my hand over you, over the opening of that cleft of the rock. And then I'm going to pass by. And after I pass by, I'll remove my hand. And you'll see just what's the glory that's still there mingling afterwards. And it lit Moses' face up. The rock of refuge. That rock is Christ. He's never going to change. You're carrying a burden this morning? You're carrying anxiety this morning? Fear? You're carrying a weight that's on your heart that you just can't, man, it's just heavy and you're wondering, oh God, I need you. Run to the rock. The rock that is higher than I. Let's just think on that for a moment. I'm done. Let me just think on that for a moment. The rock that's higher than I. That's where my help comes from. Nowhere in this world. Nowhere in this culture. Nowhere in any bank account. Nowhere in any person on this earth. But David said, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Christ is the answer. He is. Man, you're here this morning and you're looking for truth. Jesus said, I'm that rock. And upon this rock, I will build my church.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.